There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Wait, we both were really in our masks saying that.
You know what's happening lately?
What?
And it's not that I mind it. I'm just putting it out.
Yeah.
You have been starting very high in a high register. You go, ding dong. And I always just want to meet you where you're at.
Let me tell you
and
something.
So I have just, you raised me up in the words of
the
Josh
iconic
Groban.
Josh Groban.
Yes.
Who always uses the mask, okay?
Oh, so well.
Can I tell you something about growing up a queer child?
I don't know a thing about it. Tell me.
Listen, everyone. Everyone that's listening to the podcast, sort of gather in. I'm going to tell you something about being a queer child.
Come
when
in.
You're a queer child, specifically from like a part of the country where like guys talk like this, you know what I'm talking about? So it's this idea that when you are a person who is like speaking in a lower voice all their life.
Is that
life,
node zone? What
it's
is that?
Node zone.
Wow.
You're going straight to Node's Town. And then it's actually a sequel to Hades Town. Node's Town. And Rachel Chavkin
is attached.
The most amazing director is going to be attached. And we're so excited to start. And Ava Noblezada is coming back to do it.
Ava.
Yes. And so when you get older and you sort of get good with being gay, you start to speak in your mask more. And I'm seeing all the little gays who don't know they're gay yet start talking like this. I'm like, honey, free yourself.
Honey,
use the mask.
Use the mask. Well, I thank you for inspiring me, the community. I feel like I've just been finding myself meeting you up here. And it's so funny if you listen, and I know we bring this up every like quarter or so.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and listen to the old episodes. We are young.
The voices sound sprightly, young, full of hope.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting? You in particular.
I know.
Your voice
so weird.
Was an octave higher.
It's so strange.
In the beginning.
Uh-huh.
What do you think that is? Age, the years?
The years. It's inhaling things.
Oh, big time.
I think it's that.
Yeah, inhalants are very dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially real culture number 9.
Inhalants are very dangerous.
What's your favorite drug to do?
You know, if the brain could handle it, anything that like gives me a little rush of
poppers. You love poppers? You're
no,
poppers
I don't
addict?
Love poppers.
Really?
Especially after hearing your journey with it, I'm like, I gotta avoid it.
What's my journey with it?
I don't wanna. You've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Your journey with it is that it's present,
mm-hmm.
and that we. I also reach for it. I used to reach for it too often during
masturbatory times.
During masturbatory times. And it kind of, it sets too much of a pattern that like you kind of need it as a crutch if you happen to be with other people.
Yeah. This is actually a thing I struggle
yes,
with.
Yes, yes.
And it's actually
I would
a thing
love to
I
hear
struggle
our guests'
with
thoughts about
on
this
on poppers
too.
Culture.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about poppers culture is you do, they are so useful.
Yes.
When you need them, and then, but then they're so good.
But when
you do
need them,
yeah. I often feel you need them during sex. Okay, let's have an LGBTQ podcast moment. When you are having receptive anal sex,
You simply need the help.
Sure.
And sometimes it helps.
But
I
isn't
don't know.
It great when you don't?
It's so great when you don't.
When it's just like, oh, they didn't even spit for that one.
Oh my God, Bowen.
I think there is something to that.
Yeah.
It's happened like once or twice in my life.
Like with no...
Where it's just like, there's nothing. Let's just do it.
You know what?
And then it works.
It has happened to me too now that I think about it. And it's true. It's like when you really want it, you don't need anything.
Oh!
Our guest is Icon.
I am so happy that our guest is here. This is someone who... I hesitate to call him, like, a peer in our cohort or anything like that. But, like, we stood in line for the press line at the Critics' Choice Awards.
Yes, we did.
Had a grand time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just like, this is someone who is so fucking good.
Very good.
And, like, I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is, like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, this is so cool.
You were starstruck?
I was very starstruck. I was very starstruck. Yeah. I still am to this day. This one went to the Met Gala and Christian Siriano.
You're absolutely right. And looked stunning.
Fantastic. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
We need to know about what that
I need to know about what
like.
It's like to be on the ground at the Met Gala. So we're going to talk about that for 45 minutes.
Yes.
And then 45 minutes of poppers. And that's it.
And that's it.
You know him, you love him from What We Do in the Shadows. Renewed for not just season 5, which is coming this summer, but also season 6.
So we just want to blast that out for people because there seems to be confusion about when it's coming back, how many more seasons. We're getting 2 more.
We're getting 2 more, at least.
At least.
And this is one of television's funniest programs.
Thank God for it. It's not a comedy that's like concerned with being particularly cool or sexy or vibey.
No, it's saying, I'm funny.
It's saying, we're all funny people. We're all adults here.
Yeah.
We're funny.
We're all adults here and we're all funny. So drop the bullshit and the drama. Drop the drama.
Why don't people say that?
More comedy should be saying, drop the drama.
Thank you.
You know where I want the drama dropped?
Where? Comedy.
Comedies.
You were going to name names.
Because then I think there's another fun way you could go, like, oh my God, did you see they dropped the drama on Vanderpump Rules? And that's good.
Isn't it awful that it, like, does not work both ways, where, like, if you have a drama like Succession and you go, well, that's the funniest show, too.
Yeah, it's very
like,
funny.
How does it happen to, like, it's easier to infuse comedy and drama than it is to put drama in comedy.
Well, I think that when writers are given the opportunity to really do what they do and be creative and when they're getting a fair deal, we might see even more of that.
Thank you.
But I'm waiting, I'm looking at my watch.
The Alliance, more like the flop.
Say that.
I'm a writer. I'm in the guild. Okay.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Academy Award nominated.
And there's one thing we can't
announce. Can we announce that there's something we can't announce?
Yes.
I think so.
We can announce that there is something we cannot announce.
This a major announcement, there is something we cannot announce.
That our guest is involved in.
That will be announced.
That will be announced.
We don't know when. We're not
a
part
of
it.
But when it is announced, trust.
Trust.
You will be dealt with.
You will be dealt with.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen and non-binary friends, everyone out there, however you identify, Katie's, readers, finalists, publicists, everyone out there, I want you all to stand up.
Stand. In the car, if you're listening to this in the car, stand up.
Don't, actually. Okay. That's dangerous.
Well, thought I'd try.
Please welcome to your ears, Harvey Guillen! Welcome to the Thunderdome.
Thank you for... That was probably the best introduction I've ever heard.
Really?
No, it really was.
I don't know.
It went through, like, everything. And I... Poppers and talking about Shadows. And then it was great.
Thoughts on Poppers?
My boyfriend hates poppers.
Okay. They're not involved.
They're not involved. And I really don't like, I feel like sometimes it could become like a crutch. Like it's like,
yes.
I don't particularly like run to poppers, but it does help, you know, in that moment. And then, so for me, I feel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, transparency.
I was like, oh, you know, it might help. But since I'm with somebody that's like, I can't stand the smell.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. Oh, he has this really funny story that...
that you're going to tell.
I'm sure he's fine with it. in the past, like being with someone and then the smell itself was so powerful that they were like, I have to go. And they left.
Oh.
And they left like in the middle of
wow.
The hookup.
So they were just like, I have to, and then I was just like, wow. And it's like, imagine being that guy and just being like, oh, what happened? And it's like, yeah, I have to go.
So no, really, go.
That is kind trauma. Of beautiful.
I love that he was honest about that, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
No, sure not at all.
He said it in front of all of my friends. So
he said it in front of a crowd of thousands.
But you know that thing of you take a whiff, and you can feel like the little cubic centimeter of your brain dying. Mm-hmm. You can feel exactly where the gray matter is gone. You're never going to get those cells back.
Yeah.
You're never going to get those brain cells back.
Yeah. Well, I always think it's funny that like the numbers for sales probably go through the roof and no one's asking like, we don't have VHS tapes anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, someone said to me, like, I pitched the idea of using them with someone I hooked up with like 6 to 7 months ago, and the guy was a little bit older, and he said, what is it, the 70s?
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, it could
drugs
be.
Drugs are bad.
Was there VHS in the 70s? Wasn't it the 80s?
I think that his reference was off,
yeah.
And also,
he overcorrected.
By a decade.
Yeah, he overshot. And he's like, what is it, the 70s? And I was just like, oh, okay. And
VHS wasn't around in the 70s, sir, but nice try.
It's two extremes, right? People are either for them or people are like, what is the 70s? Yeah. And it's like, that's really extreme. Like, both sides are like, they have their reasons.
But, I'm excited to tell you guys who that was.
Who?
Tell.
Oh!
Interesting. Should we leave that in?
I didn't say the name.
No. But you can hear.
The camera got it.
Just put over that. Oh my god! Yeah, the
camera's.
Are we on camera right now?
No. They're not using footage.
Okay, producer Becca confirms we're not being filmed.
Thank God.
But in surveillance America,
I don't think
in
so.
A police state.
I don't think
I'm asking
so,
the question. Because I just said a B-lister and I hooked up.
Oh, well, then that narrows it down. Well,
oh, you're getting very specific now. We can't protect you
yeah,
now.
Yeah, narrow it down to all the gay B-listers. Who did Matt hook up with? Is that the most? Yeah.
Oh,
now you're very
okay,
specific.
Now
I'm thinking, is that person B-list? I think B-list is right.
I don't
care for the letter grades.
I don't like that.
You don't like that? How do you identify? What do you identify as?
He, him.
I identify as he, him, C-list.
I'm he, him, list.
Like, the list thing, it's so funny because...
It is funny.
I just think Kathy Griffin. And, like, you know, the idea.
My life on the D-list.
But it's also, like, people go up that list and down that list. And that would be really kind of weird to hear someone say, and give it up for Harvey Guillen,
B-list celebrity.
That would be weird.
Yeah, because even though they've qualified you as being on the list at all, it still is like, well, what would I have to do to move up on the list? And also, she was... I would argue that Kathy Griffin... I think at least B-list.
Yeah. I think she was overcorrecting it in a self-aware way. Yeah, she was like, it'll get a laugh if I say I'm D-list.
And it was a time where like that was so important to be that like letter list. Totally. Like, remember there was a whole show like the A-list New York? Or like,
right? The
where
A-list.
It was like, they're all A-list? Like, it's just like the idea of that, you know?
Do you want to know some tea?
Yeah.
The Real Friends of WeHo was named that later on. It was originally just a reboot of the A-list.
It was.
Yeah, it was going to be called the A-list.
That's what I thought. I was like, it has a feeling like this is the West Coast version of what we saw years ago.
Yes. Right. And then they changed it to be like referencing the Housewives of it all.
Sure.
Funny story. I saw an episode of the A-list years ago, and that's how I found out that one of my exes was a go-go dancer.
Because they were featured on it?
They were featured
on it. That's so beautiful.
But like after we had broken up and we stayed friends, but they kept that part, I guess, not conversational. And I was like, I think I saw you on an episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, in Fire Island. I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's like in the summer. And I was like, oh, cool.
That is like hallowed air, though, for him to be Fire Island go-go dancer.
Yeah.
That's lucrative. That's six figures.
That's what he said, that they would go for the summer and you don't have to work the rest of the year.
Oh my God. Tomas would go to Pine's party and they would just like dance and they'd be like, look, I made rent.
Yeah.
Whatever,
also,
you know?
Like, I was always inspired by, I feel like I go back every year and you see sort of the same people working. You do get the sense that it's like a great place to work if you can withstand that Pine's culture.
Sure.
You wouldn't come back if it wasn't. Like, you wouldn't put up.
It's one or two nights, you know, one night at the big party and then a couple nights at like Pavilion or whatever. And then you're like, okay, I'm done. I made my check.
Yeah.
But, okay, but list be damned. All that matters for you is that you went to the Met Gala.
I went to the Met Gala.
That's pretty A-list behavior.
Yeah.
It was surreal. Like, I was literally talking to Donatella about just, you know, my brother was friends with Carl. And
she said that?
And I was just like the idea of this and like Penelope Cruz. And I'm a big sucker for accents. So like even with an accent, I was just like, it's probably because of it, when knowing his legacy. It's just like,
wow, that's
and, like,
good. That's
it
good.
Was,
my favorite Penelope moment is, has anyone ever fainted up here? Because I might be the first. when she won her Oscar. I heard she's a chatterbox.
Yeah, she was like lovely. Yeah, was just like really, and she was wearing this beautiful vintage. I think it was Gucci or Chanel.
She's so gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. Yeah. And everyone looked amazing. And I was just like, it was kind of like weird because the carpet itself is not, it's just the steps of the Met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you, when you watch her on TV, it looks like it goes on forever. And then you're there, you're like, oh, there it is. And then it's like, oh, people take their time. So some people would go up and some celebrities would go up and then they'd be like, go down again.
Oh, interesting.
Because you go into the media on one side and then you go up and you're like, and then some people would just go up and not say anything and they would just go in and then leave, I guess.
Right.
But it was, it's not that big. It's not that big of a step.
And then what's the experience of the dinner?
I mean, I was there with E, like as the celebrity guest.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So like I had to walk the carpet and then I had to actually do like
do the
your friend
thing.
From SNL.
Chloe, did, yes, Chloe did it.
Did
yeah.
Vogue. And I was doing E. Mm. And so we did like go in and said, so I didn't, I had to stay until like the end, which was, my hat goes off to like everyone. And we
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I had to stay there and they were waiting for Rihanna. And Rihanna was showing up and I was just like, I don't know. It's like last year she was 2 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like after the Met Gala only goes up to like 9:30, I guess. And it's like it's only from like 6 to 9:30.
And then the thing is like all the after parties that go on.
Yeah. So yeah. I wanted to go to the after party. So I was like, let's wrap it up. And so Janelle Monáe was doing an after party at the Standard. And then that's where it was like Lizzo was there and like everyone was.
Oh, yeah, that Boom Boom Room one looked really
fun.
Yeah,
that one was fun. But you're exhausted like by the end of the day because you start your day like at 10 a.m. And you got hair and makeup and that thing is
probably
like,
a lot of adrenaline too. You know what I mean? Like you're like, oh God, it's exciting.
Yeah, totally. It's exciting. Like the photo shoot, we had a photo shoot for, you know, Christian Siriano designed it. And it was
gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. And I was just really proud to like wear that giant gown and stuff, but it was heavy, you know.
That shade of pink was so good.
It's like
I loved
beautiful.
It. Like
it was so
dusty.
Great.
How do you describe it? It's like
I don't
powdery
even
pink.
Know. It's like powder pink, yeah. And it was like that tweed, kind of a wink to like, you know, the 80s of Chanel and the house of Carl's had been. And so like it was both masculine, feminine. Like it was just like everything was gorgeous.
I love that you went with color and you, I mean, black and white, of course, it's Chanel, it's Carl, but it's like I love that you went with a color choice.
Yeah, and I went with pink.
Oh,
just a little femininity. I love that you were like, how would you describe that dusty? Like, and what if he was like, yeah, I wore this dusty gown.
No, no, no. Well, no. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, of course. We know what you're saying. And but just like thinking about the pull quote of like, so right. What are you wearing tonight? Well, I chose
pink?
This dusty gown.
Well, you know, it was because the night was, out, you know, honoring Carl and like the, he hated pink.
Yes.
So I wore pink because it was, you know, we honor
keep,
like
keep the space
work.
Queer.
Yeah, and like you know, we honor the work that he did. Obviously, sometimes it's different to like you know separate the beliefs that like
of
the artist
course.
Had.
Of course.
So like he was also, you know, he didn't care for people with curves, and he hated the color pink, and there was a lot of things. So I wanted to encompass all that and show you that you could make the best dress list in pink plus size.
There you
PLC.
Go.
Perfect.
I love that. You stuck it to him a little bit. I mean, was speaking truth to power.
I wanted to show you that it's doable because for so long it was said that it wasn't.
It's
so.
Like when a queen on Drag Race shows up in green and Michelle's like, ah! Like, but,
I know. She's really too much about the greens.
It's like
it's
enough.
Green. She hates the green.
She hates the
we
green.
Love you, Michelle.
We love you, Michelle.
No, we adore Michelle. And I guess we haven't even talked on this podcast and can be transparent about it now because I think the episode will have come out.
Oh, yeah, I think
that
so.
We did the show.
So fun.
We were guest judges on this season of All Stars, and you were last season.
Last season, yeah.
Oh, my God, which episode were you doing?
Daytona
again?
Wins comeback. So yeah. The acting challenge.
Fun.
Which, I mean, like, from day one, I was like, Sasha's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
You knew,
like,
you
I knew.
Knew.
And she's an LA girl, you know? So I was like, and I saw her at the after party for the Met Gala.
Yes, I saw
so,
the picture.
Yeah,
oh my God.
So it was
fun.
There, and like, I think I was already like tipsy, and I was like, oh my gosh. Glad to see it. Because that's how I sound when I'm just like,
yeah.
I think I had like one glass of like a French 75 or something.
That'll do it. That was
that. And then you were
you don't eat all day.
No, no.
Yeah.
You don't eat. You're running around all day. And then the first thing you do is have a glass of champagne. And you're like, oh, maybe not the best day.
It went right to the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poppers.
Yeah, right, poppers. Exactly. It was the popper sensation.
The gala version of poppers.
But it's actually Real Culture number 99. French 75 is the Met Gala version of poppers. So they shot All Stars Season 8, which is the one that we did after this season
after
that you did, Season 15. And there was even like whispers. I don't know if it was confirmed that Sasha Colby was on, but like I think it was like maybe someone that knew. I think it wasn't a well-kept secret that Sasha Colby was going to be on.
The, yeah,
and then like there were sort of like little winks and nudges that she had done really well. Not necessarily on set. I don't remember where I heard this, but I had heard somehow that Sasha Colby was there and like destroying.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. Like from the get-go, like you're like, you can't, I mean, when you have that much talent, you know, just oozing out of you, you're like, this is, there's no competition.
Yeah,
you know,
she was
like,
the only winner.
You know,
it's
only a handful of queens that you could look back at, you know, the whole trajectory of Drag Race and say, yep, we knew from the get, you know, like,
yeah.
Totally.
I think of like Bianca Del Rio, you know,
like Bob the drag queen.
Drag queen from the get go. Like you were like, yes, that my focus is always on you,
and Simone.
Yeah. Simone. Yeah. So like, there's always a handful of queens that happens. To
totally. Me. Sasha's thing is like she is past, present, future of drag.
Absolutely.
Like, all in one.
Well, she. It's so funny that like the year of Mother.
Yeah.
And then Sasha Colby wins Drag Race, and also not for nothing, but like, and she's talked about this, but in this moment where there's such like obvious and widespread attacks on trans people. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she said in an interview, like, it was definitely my time. I somehow knew in my spirit this would be my time to do this, and now is my reign. And, like, everyone can look to me as an example of, like, a confident, happy trans woman who's, like, excellent and the best at what she does. And so it's really feels good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they moved from Hawaii to LA to do Drag Race, and at the time it wasn't something that was accepted. Like, it was like...
Right, it was still when Rue was on...
Yeah, and so it was a different requirement to be on Drag Race, and they couldn't get on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Wow. This was years ago. And that could be wrong, but that's the story that I heard.
Interesting.
Which would be even more powerful. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like,
they kept at it, and they kept fighting, and now they are the queen. They are the queen, and we are looking at them, and, you know, tons of trans kids across the world are looking at them. It's just like inspiration.
Totally. And the third trans winner in a row.
It's true. What I appreciate about Drag Race so much is that it is, like, it has adapted very well, I think. I mean, there have been these, like, starts and stops, but, like, what I love about the show is that, like, season 15 feels nothing like season 10, which felt nothing like season 5, you know?
It's still fresh. Like,
it moves along with the culture, I think. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Credit where it's due, for sure.
Yep.
I mean, like, there was a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm,
and also, the set is a very fun,
it
happy
was so
place.
So fun. Everyone is great. So Everyone who works there is wonderful.
Yeah.
It was a great experience. I had a great experience.
I love anywhere where I can ride around in a golf cart.
So fun.
You know?
I love that's one of the things when I was little and like thinking what it would be like to be an actor. You'd always see like the backstage stuff.
Yeah, the golf cart.
You're like, oh my gosh. Getting to go like, you know, Warner Brothers or Paramount.
Of a lot.
Yeah, of a lot. I have lunch on the lot. And it's just like, that is one of my favorite things when you get to go on a golf cart.
What's like production for Shadows like? How much is it on location? Like, are you like, what's your time to like prep and...
Well, the first season, they wouldn't give us the scripts ahead of time.
So really?
They were really secretive, even to the actors, because I think for the movie, they kept it such a secret from the actors that they would get to set and they give them like three lines and they're like, here you go. And they didn't know the story. So the actors didn't know where the story was going. You just get to set, you know, you're working 90 days and that every day you show up to like give you. So
is that like a Taika thing?
I think
like,
it's Taika and Jermaine did that. And I think, and I could be wrong, but that was what I was told that was their, you know, what they did. But on set, the first season, since I'm the only human, I wanted to sprinkle like the trajectory of like an emotional
totally
arc.
You have
and it was hard because the vampires can wrap it up in one episode, like they learn how to use the internet or they think there's a curse, so they wrap it up in a nice bow. But for Guillermo, like I'm have to sprinkle it in, especially totally. We cross shoot, so that means in one day I would shoot a little bit of episode 102 in the morning, a little bit of 105 by lunch, and a little bit of the finale
that's
by
tough dinner time
in one day.
Wow.
So then, but I didn't know the story in the middle. So then I'd be like, wait, so we'll be shooting like an episode later in the season. And he's like, oh, Taika would be directing. He's like, hey, okay, have a get in the car and you're terrified. And I was like, okay, but why am I terrified? Oh, yeah, I can't tell you.
Wow.
And I was like, you can't tell me? Like, that was the joke. I was like, you couldn't tell me what just happened, but I'm covered in blood. And they'd be like, yeah, we can't, just go with it. Just, you're terrified. And
maybe like, the fact that you didn't know helps like with the Guillermo-ness of it.
Did,
though. You know what I mean? Like
did.
The put upon-ness of it. And, like,
I think it did because looking back when I look at the first season, I look terrified all the time. And
right.
It's because I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
But I would say Guillermo, out of all the characters, out of all the principals, like has the big trajectory, I think.
I think it became like after the first season, I didn't know he was a Van Helsing until the table read the day before we started filming.
Uh-huh.
And so I got the script and I was like, oh, what's happening? They're like, yeah, we're doing it. And I was like, oh, man. But it's actually good that I didn't know because then my vision would have been fogged.
Right.
And I would have been like, I better sprinkle this in because he's a Van Helsing.
Yeah.
It was actually perfect. But then after that, we did get the scripts and we get a little bit of like, you know, time with them. And because now we have to cross shoot so quickly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we don't have time to be like, oh, we got to prepare for that like mental
thing. Totally,
But it's a comedy thing. They were doing a comedy, but Guillermo's the only one who has like to carry like the grounded heart of it, you know?
Sure.
It was just kind of tough because it's like, these guys are so funny and like him being so like submissive and quiet and like not having to ever go to their level. I was like, you stupid boy! Like they're yelling all the time. They're flying, they're fucking. And Guillermo has to be like completely contained in keeping after his goals and wishes, you know?
I mean, your performance is so controlled and it's so good. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
It's hard. I'm sure.
I bet.
Because like, is there... like, what's the challenging part of the process there?
I think the challenging part is that it has to be grounded all the time.
Yeah.
And so I want to be like the vampires are. I mean, because if I was at that level of the comedy, then it would be like a farce. This would be like a farce that's over the top and everything because they're vampires.
Yeah.
And so they're living their lives at their level. I'm a human. And so being the only human in the show has to be real. And
yeah.
Like the comedy has to be from watching me be like, we relate to Guillermo because we're all Guillermos.
We yeah, it's happening right. in the it's world that we in live the world in. That we they're live the in. Unusual
they're
thing.
They're the usual thing. Yeah, so like if I ever teeter one side and it becomes two, it's like, I don't believe it. This is stupid, you know? And so it's hard to like, it's Stephanie Robinson, one of our EPs was like, yeah, you're just walking like a tightrope, you know? It's
yeah,
like you
totally.
Have to balance it because if you teetered one or the other, it doesn't make the show believable, you know?
That is a hard thing.
It's very hard because I have been in things where I get very self-conscious about being like the grounded person and being like, oh, I'm not really driving the laughs here. Like, am I doing something wrong?
Yeah.
Or it's just harder to gauge what it's going to look like or how I did until it comes out.
Yeah, because as a comedian, like, it's like I have to deliver the joke. But sometimes the best comedy just comes from just everyday, you know, interaction with humans and just, like, being grounded. And just, like,
no, definitely.
That's the funny part, you know?
But it's hard to know. I mean, we talk about this sometimes, like, especially with actors that seem to really know how to do this, like, intrinsically. But when you come from live comedy and when you come from, like, a comedy background and then understanding, like, how to act like a human, quote unquote, on camera. Because I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I think we're all like expressive people.
Yeah.
And the way that I would express myself in real life, if I ever do that on camera, it looks insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to have directors when I first started, because I started acting in musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started, I was like, sing out to the back row, blah, blah, blah. It's bigger than life. And so I remember being on set and like always being given the note by directors, like, bring it down.
Yeah, bring it down.
Yeah.
Bring it down. Because I was like, what do you mean bring it down?
Yeah,
and
just
sing and dance. And it's like, bring it down. So like where I find myself doing some of my best work is doing a character that if you asked me like 10 years ago, you're going to be doing this grounded character that's still funny, but it has heart and is grounded, would have been like, that sounds ridiculous. You know, like, but looking
that's
back.
That's
like,
my wheelhouse, yeah.
Yeah, and just like the fact that I'm doing that, that's what's so hard because I'm so not used to that.
Yeah.
And so I'm used to like being the big one and like being the loud one.
Yeah.
And doing Guillermo has been completely the opposite of what I've trained my whole life with it, you know.
But now you know you can do both or operate like from whatever end of the spectrum. But the wonderful thing about Guillermo is that like there are no sacrifice to laughs necessarily. Like I think Guillermo has one of my favorite jokes in the whole show, which is I don't kiss and tell, but what I can tell you is I don't kiss. Like I love like what a great joke.
That was improvised.
Really?
Yeah.
That Harvey!
We improvised. So the final part that you see is like, we already have the most amazing writers.
Of course,
like,
of course,
they're amazing.
Of course.
And we always do the like, scripted version. We do a little bit of notes from upstairs. And then after that, it's what we call a funsies. And the funsies is
do one for funsies.
Just for funsies. And it was when Taika was there the first season. And he's like, let's do one for fun. Let's do one for fun. Let's do fun. And I was like, funsies! Because that's what we called it in the other set. And he goes, what? And I was like, funsies! And he's like, okay, funsies! And from there on, we call it funsies.
Love.
But we always do a funsies. And at the end of the day, when we see the final product, half is funsies and half is scripted.
Wow. Oh, funsies. Were you a Taika fan before?
I was, and I'm glad that, like, weirdly enough, I hadn't seen the movie when I got the audition. I actually went, it was weird. I went to Wine and Cheese Night at my friend's house, Mimi. She lives out here in New York now, but she was in LA with her newborn, showing off her baby to her family and friends. And I went to Wine and Cheese Night at the last minute, and I met a girl there who texted me the next day. She said, hey, you're so fucking funny. You should audition for my fiance's new show. And I was like, I don't do those kind of films anymore.
And it was Rita Ora. Who was it?
No. No, they were engaged to Garrett Bash, who was our producer.
Uh-huh.
And
stupid joke.
It's Rita Ora. Came later.
Yeah.
And then so I was like, sure, I'll buy it. Well, who's the cast member? Allison Jones, who if you know.
Yeah,
Jones.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, of course.
And I've never gone because by invitation only. And I was like, I've never gone to her office. And I was like, this would be a great way. And so
she's so cool.
So
love
but
her.
It is a breakthrough
it's
moment.
It's a breakthrough
when
moment.
You
breakthrough
feel that Allison moment. Jones sees
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing, it was because of a friend that I met, her friend, whose fiance.
Uh-huh.
It was like total, like, you know. Nepo baby. I was just I was like, they know each other, whatever. And so I was like, I'll take it, you know, because the character was 25 years older than I am. And so I was like,
Shit. That's right. They did not write him as like a
And then I was like, he's been a familiar for like several decades because he's like, time's running out, and that's the desperation of Guillermo.
Mm.
But you could also be desperate at 10 years of, you know, service. And so I was like, damn it. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, what do I do? Okay, I'll just have to like, I never do this, like dress up for the character.
Oh, you did?
I was like, I have to make myself look older. I remember I didn't have any stubble, so I literally put like a little bit of stubble.
Wow.
And then I put these Harry Potter glasses. I popped out the lenses. I never dressed up for a character, but I was like, I have to just make an impression on Allison. And I didn't know any Guillermos except for like I was in my writing partner's house and she had a Guillermo del Toro like horror book on the shelf. And it had a like illustration of Guillermo on the back with his glasses and his hair was parted in the middle with curls.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll do my hair like that. I'm like insane at this point. I'm just like, I'm just going to like stand out, right? I wore this long sleeve, this brown nasty sweater vest. And I was like, no one on TV would ever look like this. And
you were like, You created Guillermo in that moment.
And then I went to the audition and it was one of those moments, you know, as an actor, like when you go to an audition, sometimes you walk in and you're like, I hope I did okay.
Yeah, I don't, but yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. And so I went to the audition and I was here to see Allison. I was so excited. And I was like, I'm here to see Allison. And all dressed up, I was like, she's not here. And I was like, no, I met a girl at a party. And she told me, he's like, no, we know. We've been waiting for you.
But, I met a girl at a party?
Yeah, she's not here. She's in London auditioning
for Guillermo. Yeah, we're the assistants and this is what it is.
Yeah. And he's like, here you go. Microphone on my collar. And I was like, oh, is she going to see it? Like, she'll see it in London. She has time. And I was just like... like did not care. And I was like, okay, well, fuck it. I'm just gonna do it. And I remember doing it and at the end looking up at Ben, the casting associate, and he's like, Harvey, and I go, yeah. I thought he was gonna, you're going to Hollywood or something.
Yeah.
But he goes, the microphone, we're done. And he takes off the microphone and I was like, thank you. And then I walked out and I was like, I don't know what I did. My agent calls like, what'd you do? And I was like, I don't know. An hour later they called, I showed Allison, Tyka, Jermaine, everyone had agreed to test me.
Oh.
FX. They'd all seen the video. And they were like, you're the wild card though, because you're too young for the role.
Wow.
And I made a career of being the wild card. Like every role that I can look back at, I was.
I know, aren't we all used to that? Yeah. Are we all used to being like, you're not the first.
You're not
pick.
The first.
Yeah,
pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I made a career out of it. Like I was like, every major role I've gotten was not for me. It was not written for me on paper. It wasn't supposed to be for me. And I went in there as a wild card. I was like, how about this? And they're like, yeah, I guess. And then they like it or whatever. So I was a wild card. And I was like, I'm going to go and I'm just going to at least get to meet Allison, right?
Yeah.
So weeks go by and I'm not testing. It's Martin Luther King weekend on a Sunday and they start production on Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
And I haven't heard anything. And I was like, I didn't get it, whatever. And so this number kept calling me. Eventually, I pick it up. And he's like, hey, is this Javi? And I was like, yeah. Hey, it's Talking Jermaine. And I was like, hey. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm testing for you. And he's like, no, you're not testing, mate. And I was just like, thank you for the opportunity. I wish you all the best. In your-. Like thinking they were like going to be like,
oh,
I'll
be just,
like,
just yeah, be to let you know, let you
like,
down
hey,
easy,
thanks
yeah.
so much. We went out of the way, whatever. I was like, no. And he's like, we'll see you on set. And that's how I booked it. And I was like with my sister and it was this moment.
So was there supposed to be a test and they just decided never mind?
There was the first time they had all unanimously voted to test someone. Everyone else was split like 40-60, blah, blah, with other actors.
And so they're like, why are we even do this?
Yeah, why are we testing him? It's the first time we all agreed that we like somebody.
Love that.
That's great.
That's how I got it.
Damn.
We love it.
That's like a cinematic sort of
Cinderella story. It's a Cinderella story.
Yeah, I was Hillary Duff.
You were Hillary Duff.
Yeah.
Is she your favorite Cinderella? That's who came to your mind first.
It was, but also Brandy.
Oh,
Brandy.
Well,
yeah. No, that's the answer.
That's the answer right there. And then, yeah, so it was just one of those moments where, and then when you shoot something that's really good, sometimes you feel like this isn't going to go because nothing.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean? And so I made the pilot and I was like, fuck, this is really good. I really hope. But if it doesn't, it's okay. I'll have the footage.
Yeah.
Like, you'll totally. Have this footage.
Right.
For the real.
For my reel.
Yeah, for my reel. And then we got picked up and now we're going to season 6 this fall.
That's so cool. It's almost better, though, to have that experience you had with auditioning where they give you nothing because then you can just go about your life. Like, I've left auditions and had them be like, that was great, the feedback's good.
Yeah.
You're even told you're being heavily considered.
You
don't get it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh God. But it also, it's like, I think everyone in the world likes positive feedback.
Totally.
And to feel like you did a good job.
Yep.
But then there is those disappointing moments, which is just the entire business.
Yeah. And I've had the opposite of that too, where like I went in there and I know they liked it and I didn't get the role.
Yeah.
Like I go in there and like I remember I auditioned for like Sean Levy. And he was on the floor laughing about this like, character, but the character was not right for me. Like, I knew it on paper. I knew exactly who they were looking at for other actors and stuff. It wouldn't work with me. And I knew that it wouldn't work with me, but I can give you my best version of this.
Yeah.
And I give my best version. Yeah. And then I was like, I'm not going to get it. But he was on the floor laughing, walked out. And then 2 weeks later, they called and they're like, hey, he wrote a part for you.
There you go.
You know, and just like, so my goal is to, obviously you want to get the gig and you want to get the job, but to win the room.
Impress in general.
Yes. You want to win the room. And so like, if you win the room, you'll always work. And like sometimes with casting directors are like, I would have those moments and it's just like, Harvey, you're going to do that. You got it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, really? He's like, I know it's not official, but like, I mean.
I hate
me.
That.
Yeah,
and
know,
they say
tough.
Stuff like that. And then I go home with this like chip on my shoulder. I was like, oh my God, I think I got it. And then no call. Nothing. And then eventually it was like, well, no, she said, no, can you check again?
Yeah.
Your agents have to go check. And then they're like, Harvey, she said no. And I was like, No.
And then they're like, Harvey, it never happened.
you never auditioned for that.
That person doesn't exist. Are you well?
That was you walking around a Del Taco in downtown.
I went and I thought I slayed, and then I found out it never happened.
That would be a thriller.
That would be an amazing thriller that the three of us are going to star in.
Yeah.
Yes. We all go out for the same part and get amazing feedback, and then we find out that none of us ever auditioned. And it's a psychological thriller.
I love a gaslight
directed by Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
Start production in the fall.
Oh my god. Start production in the fall. I can't wait.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes. We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for what you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Do you guys shoot shadows in LA?
Toronto.
That's right. That's right.
So we shot the pilot in LA, and I was so happy because I'm from LA, born and raised. So I was like, oh, this would be great. Because every gig I've been getting before that would be taking me out, like to Atlanta, New York, which I love, but it's also I miss my family and friends. And so I was like, this would be perfect, perfect. So we get picked up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it got picked up. It's like, yes, here's the caveat. You know, it's like it's in Toronto.
And I was like, oh. How much out of the year are you shooting when you're shooting?
So our first season, we moved really quick. We shot 10 episodes in 9 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, that's insane. That's completely insane.
And we felt it. Like, we shot 10 episodes in 9 weeks because of everyone's schedule.
And you would cross shoot. And so you're like, what is going on?
So by the end, we wrapped Christmas Eve. And you work through Thanksgiving because in Canada, it's not an American holiday. So they're like, we're working. And we're like, and so you FaceTime your family. Like, it was like my first Thanksgiving not like at home. You know, it's like, hey, everyone. And you don't have that. Like,
yeah.
So it's just like, fine. It feels so weird. And whatever. Like, we're doing work. We're being creative. But we were tired. Like, the first season, we were like exhausted. And then after that, I think they caught on. They're like, maybe give you like an extra couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sure. So they gave us an extra couple of weeks. And then the pandemic happened. So they gave us an extra, like a month extra. Yeah. And so now we shoot the whole show in like 3.5 months. months.
Nice.
Three and a half months.
Yeah.
So 3.5 months in Toronto. And do you like Toronto?
Are you a Toronto fan? I've become a really big Torontonian, you know?
Yes, yes.
An honor.
It's cute.
It's cute. I like it.
Yeah, I shot there last summer.
Yeah, yeah. And oh, the summer is beautiful.
Gorgeous there.
It really is.
Did you go to the island?
No, I didn't get to make it out to the island. I was only there for 10 days. But I definitely like went to like some of the spots.
Yeah.
Like I went to some restaurants.
To the village.
I went to the village.
So you make your own little community there, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so it's kind of fun because when I go back to Toronto, shout out to all my Toronto friends. Like it's like you make your own community. You go to dinner with your friends. Blah, blah. And I'd be there, you know, it's half a decade, you know?
Yeah.
Like now,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's like half of my, you know, decade was there. So like I made friends and from season one to season now, like I know their birthdays. We go have dinner. And it's just nice to have a family. And
such
like
a rarity too nowadays to have a show go for that long, you know?
I was just going to say, I was like six is like
unheard of.
Big number.
Yeah. Yeah, a blessing. You know, but yeah, I love Toronto and I live there in the summer. During the pandemic, it was tough because it had no ins and outs because Canada was really like, we are protecting our own, which makes sense. And so when we got there, we didn't kind of know that. So when I got there and shot season three, they're like, okay, so if you leave, you can't come back in. It's like, until your next season. And I was like, oh, what? And then I booked Reacher on Amazon season one and they shot in Toronto. So I went straight from Shadows to season one of Reacher.
To season four of Shadows?
Season four of
Shadows. How long was that total?
10 months.
Oh, wow. So there was a whole year in Toronto. I'm going to generalize and say that Toronto has some of the hottest queer people in the world.
I second that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And great food. Like
great food.
Food was fantastic.
It's like hot, gorgeous queer people who are like not super pretentious about like...
No, and they don't know how gorgeous they are. Well, everyone always compares Toronto to a smaller, cleaner version of New York.
Yes.
Where it's like a tiny version of it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they're just so nice in Toronto. They're just really polite.
Yeah. Wonderful.
We did meet the rudest person in the world, Matt and
in Toronto?
Wait, when? What are you
when we went for the sketch festival there, me, you, Rachel Winitsky, I think Amanda Schechtman... all went to some brunch place near the hotel.
Yes.
And there was a
line
out.
It
was not the Drake, but it was some nondescript brunch place like by where we were staying. There was a line outside. And then I was like, I took it upon myself. I turned around to the group and I go, I'm going to go in and just ask the host like how long the wait is. Because there's a line.
Yeah.
So then I walk up to the door and I open the door and then some fucking asshole in a fedora.
Not a fedora.
Next to like his mistress, whatever.
Next to his mistress.
Goes, hey, what do you think you're doing? And I was like, I'm going inside to ask how long the wait is. Oh. And he goes, oh, that's interesting. Because I don't know where you come from, but here we wait in line.
Okay, so not even rude. That feels racist to me.
It was whatever. Because he was directing it to me and Rachel. So it was Rachel and I going in. And then Rachel Winitsky was basically like, thank you so much. You've been so helpful. And then we walked inside and asked how long the wait was. And then guess what? We got seated within like 10 minutes. But then he was literally at the window. He's this fucking scumbag.
Ew.
Sticks out to me as like the rudest, worst person I've ever met.
He sounds like
a
villain in Pinocchio or something.
Yeah. Very Disney villain. Yeah.
That is horrible.
Isn't that awful? But maybe he was visiting as well.
That's what I was going to say. Fedora doesn't go with Toronto.
No.
I'm sorry. It's like that episode in Sex and the City when that scrunchy lady's in line. And like, he's like, see, I wrote a girl with a scrunchie. She's from New York. So he's like, ma'am, where are you from? I'm visiting.
Yeah, from Texas.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. That person was visiting.
Oh my God. Wait, that's burger culture, right?
Burger culture.
Oh my God. Burger.
This guy was giving burger, but like worse.
He was visiting. I almost can stand behind that. It doesn't sound like a Torontonian to me.
That was not me saying like Toronto has weird people. I'm just saying it's the side of one of the most egregious moments of rudeness.
Once you said fedora, it just didn't sink that it was Toronto.
Was he actually wearing a fedora?
Yeah.
Wow. And I just keep envisioning like a long like
he was wearing there may or may not have been a feather. No, he was wearing like the shittiest hat I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, I don't like
terrible.
That.
So you should have just been like, your hat looks like shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that next time someone's rude to me. Well, you look fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Sir, this is a Wendy's. Yeah.
I don't care.
How long is the wait gonna be at Wendy's?
Well, you look fucking stupid.
You look fucking stupid.
Oh my God. Now I'm the Pinocchio villain.
I see. The thing is, like, I don't consider myself a confrontational person
at all.
Until you push me.
But in a situation like that,
it would be hard.
Yeah. Very,
because there's
difficult.
So many, like, things and thoughts going through your head. I'm like, whoa. You know, like, when you said that, I was like, it sounds targeted. It sounds kind of racist. You know, like,
oh, no, it's for sure racist. Because I know that they were pointing it at you and Rachel, I don't think they use the words, I don't know where you come from.
Right, right, right.
If it's like that me and Rachel.
No, totally. No,
it, very triggering.
Fully, like, walloped me, but I was just like, but it was along with the rest of, like the energy was just like.
Well, yeah, whenever someone is being really rude, I feel like I never react in the moment because it filters through a thing of like, well, they can't possibly be being this rude.
That happened to me last week here in New York. So it was my birthday, and my boyfriend surprised me because he had never been to the Statue of Liberty. And so he's like, meet me at Battery Park, and we'll go have an adventure. So I met him at, like, 1, and now we got there.
I'm actually sobbing.
I'm about to cry.
Like, yeah, and then he saw me, and he was like, surprised. And he's like, you told me you've never been to Statue of Liberty, so I got us, we're getting on the boat, we're going to Ellis Island, and then we're going to go and have lunch at 1 Trade Center, like the top of the world.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then after that, we're going to go to, like, he had this whole thing planned.
Oh.
And I was, like, so emotional. I was like, oh, my God, that's so wonderful. And I hugged him and gave him a kiss. And in the corner of my eye, I see a gentleman, and he goes, hey, no, faggot. And I looked, and I was like, thought I misheard him, and I justified that I didn't hear right.
Like, there's
like,
no way he can be saying faggot.
Yeah, and I thought, there's no way. This is New York City. It's broad daylight. You know, it's like, no, this is not happening. And I looked over, and my boyfriend's like, are you excited? He's like, focusing on me. He doesn't even hear the guy, but I can't focus on anything else but what he just said. And he's saying it again. He's waving like this, and he's like, you, and like saying it again, and then he spits at us.
Whoa. Jesus.
Oh, so you guys were attacked.
And then I looked at him, and he's like walking away. And he spits at us, and like the spit didn't hit us, but it hit pretty close. And I looked at my boyfriend, and he's still so in love and so like focused on me. He's like, and then we're gonna go. And I was like, did you hear what he said? And he was like, what? And he's like, he called me faggot. And it's like, who? And the guy had already walked away. And I was like, that guy, and he spit at us. And he's like, ignore him. And I was like, I can't ignore him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? And then he's like, this is New York City. And it's like, he's probably mentally like ill or like something. And it's like, I don't want to have to justify that someone's using that word. He doesn't know me. You know, he doesn't know that it's my birthday, that I'm having a great time with my.
Or that you're a human being.
You don't know me, and you don't get to call me that. You don't get to call me that. And a part of me wanted to go in and say something and maybe get physical. I don't know, but I was so paralyzed, and I hated the fact that I was paralyzed with this because the word itself sounded like that can't be happening.
It's surreal.
Yeah. And it's like watching a car accident that you're part of or something. That, you know, it's like, I'm in an accident. Like, this is happening to me. Right?
It's totally
happened to me. And you
get
frozen.
Yeah.
And I was frozen, and he walked away, and I didn't do anything. I just hated myself because I didn't believe it was happening, and I was so confused. I was like, wait, how come you can't hear him? I heard, you know? And he was like, because he was so lovely and like just focusing on the day that he had presented in front of us. And then he was better than I was in the way of brushing it off. But I was like, it kind of ruined the beginning of that.
Of course it did.
And then he's all, hey, look at me. Don't let this ruin the day for you. Let's say he was mentally ill. So I was like, yeah, but that's not a justification, you know?
It's of course a sweet thing. And he obviously wanted to salvage the day that he had created and like make sure that it was still a happy day. But it's just like,
it's in your eye line, first of all.
Yeah, that's what it is. And also, he didn't see it, and he didn't experience it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was my eye line that was happening. And the thing where it really hit me that it was the spitting. It would have been like, did he say that word?
That's an attack. That's an assault. Like, I mean, someone spitting at you is... Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, no, that is what's happening. That's when I really kind of like came back to. And I was like, that is what's happening. And then he walked away. And I was like, I wish it would have came to me sooner.
Yeah. You always I'm so sorry that happened. And you always wish later that you could have been the best version of yourself in that moment, or like the sharpest, like, you know, had something to say or had some. But the thing is, like, what they don't talk about is it's like they talk about the fight or flight response, but it's really the fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
That is a totally valid reaction to that.
And I hadn't felt that. And I hadn't felt that since this has only happened twice in my life. Once when I was 6. And went to visit my grandma in Mexico. And I was hanging out with these kids. And I brought my Tonka truck. And I wanted to play with them. But I was so pretty flamboyant. Cute. And I brought the toy to play with my new friends that I thought I was going to have. And it was at our neighboring house. And then my mom said, go play with them. You know, share your toys. Because now everyone here is privileged. And you have toys. So I went to play with the toys. And these boys were like, we can't play with you. Because our brother says you're a mariposa. Which means you're a butterfly. It's a derogatory word about like. Yeah. You know, the F word. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that. And I was like, what are you talking about? Mariposas are beautiful. I was like, okay. And he's like, we can't play with you. And they start chanting the word mariposa over and over. And I was like, what are they doing? And I just knew it was bad. And I emotionally like couldn't do anything. I just felt like it's only happened twice in my life. When I was 6 and on my birthday last week. And I was just like,
this was last week?
This was last week. And now it took me back to that six-year-old where I didn't do anything. I grabbed my truck and I walked away and they were chanting over and over. And I didn't defend myself because I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know how to comprehend like the feelings that were going through my emotions, everything. And I look back and then I see start flying and they're rocks. They're throwing rocks and one of them hits me right here.
Oh, fuck.
And it scars me right here.
Oh, yeah, you have a scar.
And so that was my first experience of being like bashed with this word and feelings of like who I am is not accepted. And it's just like I ran home and I was like covered in blood and I told my mom and I'm sobbing. I'm like, they call me Mariposa. And so who called you Mariposa? I was like, they did. Why do they call me that? And she kept saying, who cares what they call you? Mariposas are beautiful and they get to fly all over the world.
Aww.
And I was like, I knew she was protecting me because I was so young.
And even like, in that moment, you're like, why did it happen? Yeah, that's, I guess, I remember that.
And as an adult, you're like, why did that happen?
Why did that happen? Yeah. So that was a 6-year-old. And now, like, you know, last week for my birth, I was just like, how have I come this far? And I still am paralyzed when people, and it's just like,
that has nothing to do with
it's
you,
just the human brain.
That
it's
is, just, that, yeah. It was your response to it, period. And that is a valid response to it. And also, it's just crazy because, like, you should be able to express affection to your partner freely wherever. And it is scary, though, because I also had, like, a moment. It was probably about a year ago that I kissed someone on the street and someone was walking past us and he said, none of that gay shit. And this was in Chelsea. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
It's like, and also, you know, my ex, like, he liked to, like, hold hands on the street and, like, be affectionate and, like, you know, kiss in front of people. And I told him at one point, I was like, hey, like, if I'm ever, like, dodging that or feels like I'm not into it, it's not that I'm not into it or don't want to do it. It's I'm scared.
I'm scared.
It's because, like, you know, you hear a lot about this happening.
Yeah.
And it happened in Times Square, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Couple just holding hands. And no one did anything. So that was, like, it's, like, yeah.
I mean, a few years ago in the West Village, and sorry to upset, you know, the readers and everyone listening, but, like, it's just something that's very real. And I think it's, like, important that we talk about because, you know, we have these, like, sort of ambiguous things of, like, oh, it's getting worse, like, things are happening. But, like, specifically, like, there was someone shot. There was a gay couple. One of them was shot in the West Village on, like, literally West 4th and 6th.
It was, like, last summer?
Mm. It was, like, a few summers ago. But, uh-huh, like, uh-huh. It's almost, like, not even the point of when it was.
No,
it's
no,
just,
no.
Like, recently
of course,
it happened. Two gay men in gay parts of a gay city. It's really shitty, and I'm so sorry that it happened so recently, and I'm sorry that we have to deal with it.
And I'm sorry that we have to be, we're still sharing these stories, and they're so, like, relevant, and it's not like it happened years ago. It's like, this is happening, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and again, this is, you know, obviously, it's pretty heavy, you know, but it's also something that needs to be addressed, especially with the times that we're living in.
It's just, I think that it's hard to explain to someone that doesn't have to, that isn't a scared person when they hold hands or even are in a group of gay friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And this is why when people talk about going to, like, a gay destination, a queer place, a queer bar, it's like, it's a place where you, like, kind of let that armor drop.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's why people are obsessed with going to Fire Island. It's because it's, like, it's a place with, like, basically no straight people. So you kind of, like, get to be
safe.
You're safe. And then, therefore, that leads to, like, a nice kind of innocent hedonism where you just are enjoying things. And, like, it's as simple as that. And, like, I get a little self-conscious. I'm like, oh, I don't really travel other places too much besides, like, my Fire Islands and, like, my this and my that. And
safety.
I'm just like, but it's safety, just, it's literal safety.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer.
I know. I know.
But I do feel like talking about it helps. And
I think
someone listening to us and you sharing that story about with your ex and me sharing that story.
Well, likewise.
It's
yeah.
just like, it will help because we shouldn't live in fear. And I think it helps us to share these stories with each other. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
and everyone does have one. Mm-hmm. Even if there's one not top of mind, like, I wouldn't have even, it's like, your story, like, made me remember that. But it's like, it's less about I have a story and more about, and I'm sure a lot of people can connect to this. I'm sure we all do. It's more about there is a baseline feeling of vulnerability at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the reason why people are in the closet.
Right. Yeah.
Or stay in the closet. Or it's the reason why that is a stage in every queer identity is that you, like, have to, like, make the choice to announce it to, like,
you know, that's what it is. It's like the coming out of the closet, that phrase. I always had a problem with it because coming out of the closet, it's like when someone, quote unquote, comes out of the closet, they already know who they are. They're sharing their information with
you. Of course.
It's not like a surprise.
No.
It's that they already knew. They asked themselves these questions. So I really think it should be called letting people in. I let you in. And because you already know, you asked yourself that question, am I queer? And by the time you come to, like, okay, I'm going to share that information with someone, I'm going to let them in, mm-hmm. not come out of the closet. I'm going to let them in. And what you do with that information is so important because it can go terribly wrong. Yeah. When people let people in, look what happens.
It know? Should be let them into my walk-in.
Let them into my walk-in.
It's actually Roller Coaster number 80. It's not coming out of the closet. It's letting them into my walk-in.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Bursts.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Okay, who's planning a trip to Provincetown this year?
Me. And if you've been before or it's your first time, you deserve to enjoy life on the wild side.
If you take pride in where you travel, then you're ready for a P-Town adventure.
I love that Provincetown is so welcoming to everyone and embraces diversity.
Oh my God, there's so much to do. Art galleries, local shopping, beaches, bike trails, nightlife, whale watching, dune tours.
And that's why I love Provincetown. It's queer, it's quirky, you can be yourself, and it's always a good time.
If you've never been to P-Town, you have to plan a trip. And every time you visit, your experiences will never be the same. One of my favorite things is you can strut your stuff with your squad, solo or hand in hand with your, let's say, trick.
For many of us, the definition of paradise is summertime in Provincetown. It's all about freedom, sunshine, and a chance to be ourselves.
From Boston, hop on a fast ferry for 90 minutes. The ferries run from mid-May through mid-October.
For more info, go to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com.
Provincetown, we're gonna see you there.
Do you need to be part of the next pop culture moment? Are you scared of missing out on once-in-a-lifetime experiences? From can't-miss music festivals to international fashion shows to your favorite celeb's favorite restaurant, staying in the know can be so expensive. Don't let your finances hold you back from living your best life.
Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper.
Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com to start living yours. It's Intuit.com. Let's get into it.
Now, Harvey, we want you to let us in into this question that we ask all of our guests, which is, what is the culture that made you say culture is for me, culture is for you? What is the formative piece of pop culture that sort of set you on?
Well, it's so funny because I think that like a lot of young kids who watched Titanic for the first time.
Yep.
I was obsessed with Titanic and then more with Kate Winslet. And then yes. I went down a rabbit hole and I went to see her, one of her first films. And then I was obsessed because of Kate Winslet. Became more obsessed with Melanie Lynskey.
Oh my God!
Heavenly Creatures, I was obsessed with it. I would watch that and I was like, this is for me. Peter Jackson is for me. This is for me. These young actors who I would just was blown away how amazing they were at such a young
age.
This is for me. Like, this is the world I want to live in. This is movies and this culture is for me. And then just going down a rabbit hole of films that Peter had made and like, just like for me, I would like literally would quote like if someone were having lunch or something at the cafeteria, and then someone grabs the last nachos, I'd be like, "Go ahead, treat yourself."
Uh-huh.
It's just like,
oh my God.
How chic for your way into Peter Jackson to be heavenly creatures.
Creatures.
That is so like. Of course, I know Lord of the Rings, but. Really, Heavenly Creatures was my way into Peter Jackson.
I was obsessed.
We just had Melanie on the show, so this is funny.
It's like,
And but that's why Titanic is important, is because it becomes this gateway into those other stuff.
And it's a rabbit hole. Like it was like it went down, and I was it started with like Kate, and Kate's amazing. But then I discovered Melanie, and I was like, oh my gosh! And then go down that, and I was like, she's so phenomenal. Everything she's done, and but I'm a cheerleader. Like I was just like all the stuff that she's done. And I was like, that was for me. I quote those things with my friends all the time, and then it just goes, you know. And then other movies. movies as well. Like, it's just like old, like campy stuff, like, you know, Baby Jane, Baby Jane, you know, Mommy Dearest, of course. It's like, you know, it's queer culture. So like queer culture, like through that way of like Titanic was kind of like what I've learned. That
the
I've
six just, degrees of Kate Winslet leading you out into Mommy Dearest. Yeah.
Titanic did give you this understanding of camp, I think, because the dialogue is, I think, consciously campy, because it's literally what Kiki Palmer was talking about on the podcast, where she was like, he has to recoup on these movies. He has to make this dialogue as general and as like understandable to as many people as possible.
The inflection on those lines too, like, I put the coat on her and put the diamond in the cup. Those lines are just like, you know, going down the elevator, like so iconic. The inflection on those lines where like, it's just, it couldn't have been done any other way.
I think it was the first time I ever saw the middle finger used.
In the elevator?
She goes down. Yeah.
That's actually a pull I didn't realize I had, but the first time I ever saw the fuck you gesture with the middle finger may have been Titanic, because I was told, in a film anyway, because I was told when I was in kindergarten that I was doing it, but without realizing what it was. I think I like, this is before Titanic, but I was having my middle fingers up like this. I guess I just thought it was funny. And my teacher wrote a letter home that I had been using the middle finger, and my parents were so upset because I think they thought I knew what the fuck I was doing. And then when it was 2 years later, in 97, I saw that and I was like, oh, I get it. It's a crude gesture.
I've always had a question though. That's so funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like, is that anachronistic? Did the middle finger mean that? That's actually an
interesting question for a historian.
I've always thought that when I watched. Yeah.
Well, I went down how accurate a lot of things were, and like the actual number, they're looking for them, and they're having sex in the car.
Yeah.
And the guys, the like lamps, and they go, you know, they like they found them. Lamps weren't invented until a year after Titanic.
Oh my God, Harvey!
Becca, producer Becker, can you look up the origin of the middle finger? Okay, we're gonna get to the bottom of this.
That is huge, and I had never thought about that.
Yeah, and it was just a year too early, and I was just like, "Oh, those weren't in there."
Uh-huh.
That is funny. So, what were they using? Torches,
lanterns.
Yeah. Okay, so make sure that we're picking up Becca here because she's gonna deliver the news.
All right. So, according to the BBC, the Greeks used the middle finger as an explicit reference to male genitalia as far back as 419 BC.
This is one of the oldest things
you could do. So this erect finger is supposed to be a penis. So when I point it at you, it's literally fuck you.
Yes.
And
in the classic times. In Greece.
And so
in
international. Like
it is. It really is.
It's like the Greeks were doing fuck you and also gay sex before anyone else.
That's so cool.
Can I say the ancient Greeks would have loved poppers? And it's actually ruler culture number 489.
The ancient Greeks would have loved poppers.
I think it's engraved in like when you go into the Colosseum.
It's Bible now.
Oh my God, it's Bible.
It's engraved into our commandments, the rules of culture. So it is so. And so it shall be done. So Titanic sort of set you on a course. Then didn't you become like a little like cinephile? Were you the person that was like in school being like, I know movies?
Yeah. So I would go to school and like watch and start watching shows that were not like age appropriate. Like I was obsessed with Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
And Strangers with Candy, where like I would go to school and kids would be like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Packing a Musket by Jerry Glenn.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that monologue. I actually, funny story, I auditioned with that monologue for my first musical theater gig out of school and I booked it. Just Jerry Blank's monologue.
With Jerry.
I did Packing a Musket. But he's like, when you work from home and John's calling the phone, you're a call girl. When you walk with a limp and give a cut to a pimp, you're a street whore.
You're doing Jerry.
Please. Yeah, like did the whole thing. I thought it was a joke. I did it as a joke because I was like, I'm not supposed to audition while I'm in school. I auditioned while I was still in school as a joke. And I got it. And then I moved to Japan for 13 months.
Wow.
Wow.
What was your experience living in Japan?
I loved it. I also got there and, you know, hadn't done anything before, so I wouldn't be like, just play cool, professional, blah, blah. And then I got there and they gave me the script and it was in Japanese. And I was like, I got the Japanese version. And they're like, yeah. It's like, we open in 2 weeks.
And it was what?
This is in Tokyo?
This is Osaka.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, so then how did it work?
Because phonetically, you say it in Japanese. Like, it's like, we're not doing an English show in Japan. Like, they brought American actors to do a show in Japanese. And so I just completely... I didn't have an age or anything. It was just like, I just got the job and I was like, whoa, I know when told, whoa. And so I had to learn. So like to this day, I had to understudy the wizard with the white wig and makeup. Like, I never went on, thank God. But I had to learn his song, Sentimental Man. To this day, when that song comes out, it goes automatically Japanese in my head.
Wait, this is for Wicked?
Yeah.
You were the wizard?
Real.
Oh, my God.
I was a swing to the wizard. And I was like, which made no sense because the show that I originally did there was Sesame Street. So I was a 13-year-old boy. And I was like, how did I go from 13 to like 58? Like
in talent. Range.
It's range.
She got range. So to this day, literally when I hear something, it's like, Kokoro yasashi otoko sa, dakara itsumo jibu. So Alphaba, oh my no chikarado.
I heard Alphaba in there.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
That's amazing.
Do you pick up and retain any of the language?
I did for a while.
But now
when
it's
I got
gone.
Back, I would hear someone like in an elevator or visiting. And I was like, oh, I was like, and I give them directions. So I was like, what's that? Yeah. How did this yoroshiku? Like, it's like I pick up stuff and like say it. And it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it. Like,
well, especially
yeah,
that one.
Yeah. So I to this day, it's hard to just go back and be like, oh, no, I can still, no, I haven't used it in years. Nope. Wow. Yeah.
There's
so
a part of your brain that is committed to
it. I could pick it up. Like, yeah. I could pick it up and I was like, but it's not as like, oh, by the 11th month, I was just having full on. Conversations. Wow. And stuff.
Yeah. What was the Japanese alphaba giving?
I've seen the clips of them. Yeah. But yes, go
so
on.
So Japanese alphaba was American or Australian. Gemma. She was an actor from Australia. She actually did alphaba Wicked in Australia. Like that's the company. So she did it in Japan. The only lead that was Japanese was Glinda.
Okay,
oh,
cool.
So the only line that I used to love is like, what happened when she used her magic? None of the shano. No, I know. Like, it's just like, what happened? Why did you do that? I hope you're happy. Like, that was so intro.
Yeah. I mean, I love this.
The craziest thing about any show, but Wicked, I am slightly familiar with, like, the international aspect of it because Stephen Remus, who's been, like, working on the show since the beginning, who's working on the movie, like, he's literally, like, traveling. He still travels all over the world to be like, all right, and we got to do it in, like, you know,
yeah.
Hungary. Now we have to do it in, like, you know, fucking Slovakia or wherever. I'm just making up places, but he literally goes to like Eastern Europe, Asia, like all these places. And it is just like so wonderful how like international like musical theater can be. Whatever. I'm sounding like such a
no
kid
it's
about
true,
this.
Though. It's like, but it's also some things like phonetically or like the diphthongs, like they get lost when translated.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like popular is so specific because it goes with pop.
Popular, like, the large,
like,
yeah.
So then it's like when you change that, it's like some yeah. things get a little bit lost and you're like,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
There are compilations out there of like alphabets from every country.
Yeah, I've watched nearly all
They're
of them.
They're all gags. Every alphabet. There are some Korean alphabets that like go off.
Yeah.
Eat, tear, and more.
Eat, tear, and more.
It's actually roller coaster number 92.
There are some Korean alphabets who eat, tear, and more.
Oh my God.
Harvey, that's amazing.
It was my first big gig and like I'm glad I did it and I was just like thrown in there. But then going back. Musical theater was my training, like, but uh-huh. I didn't end up doing it. Like, I ended up going to TV and film. So, like,
no
looking
problem.
Back, I'm like, but I feel like I'm going to go back to the stage.
Yeah, when are you going back to the stage?
Maybe sooner than we think.
Oh yeah. An announcement that we cannot announce.
How interesting, Harv.
Well, boyfriend's here in New York.
Yeah.
That would be really a great
yeah,
idea,
I found myself, like, lucky I was like getting work out here this year and then mm-hmm. spending more and more time here. So because at first I was like, let's see how this plays out. Like it's like,
oh,
you know,
sure.
when the relationship's early and you're like, I don't live here.
How long
like,
have you guys been together?
5 months.
Oh, that's
it's new.
You're past the 3 month benchmark, which I think is like my wall. It's like not my wall, but it's like the hill I have to crest all the
yeah.
time.
Or 6 months. Sorry, 6 months now.
Six yeah. months Great. Now. Yeah.
So Lovely. Half a year. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Well, if you were to ask me this like in month one or two when it was like, okay, let's see how this works
no,
out.
No, totally.
You know what I mean? But now I'm like, hey, you know what? This is
steady.
Steady. Looking for apartments. You know?
I'm just looking for apartments at 6 months.
I mean, not like it's helping. He's moving. On
yeah,
his
yeah,
own,
yeah. No.
But I'm helping.
But you're a part of it in a substantial way.
Yes.
In a meaningful way.
Why wouldn't you be?
Exactly. Yeah. So because I was like, well, you know what? I do spend a lot of time here, and well, back and forth is kind of like killer. You know,
it's
so.
Pretty fun. It's pretty fun here.
It is.
And, I mean, New York is back.
It's back.
And I just had this conversation yesterday with a couple friends. Like, the phrase New York is back
has been said for years.
It's been said
point.
For years. But what I mean is, like, and tell me if you agree.
New York never left.
Like, no, it for sure left. Like, I feel like the pandemic killed New York. And then New York was quote unquote back when everything opened up again. But I feel New York was not really back because everything was operating at an 11. And there was like, I remember
sure.
I was in I stayed in the Lower East Side when I first came here. And it was like everyone was like really frantic about being able to be out again. And there was chaos. Now it feels like I say New York is back because we've reverted back to like chill New York. We're not like, you know,
it's not
crazy about being able to be out.
Yeah, there was always going to be an overcorrective like spike up, and then now like and now I think the needle is back to like the
yes
yeah. the center
yes.
or whatever.
Exactly.
For those of us who never left New York,
right,
and like put in the hard yards. Is that am I using that term correctly?
Yeah, sure.
What does hard in the paint mean again?
Sports hard in the reference? Paint means when you're like it's a basketball thing.
Yeah,
it's like when you're driving down the court, like you're going hard in the paint. Like it's like, yeah. am I doing this oh, right? Like hard right. in the paint. It's like when you
stomping
are really riding hard for something.
Okay.
Like I use it like. I go hard in the paint for Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this year at the Oscars, I went hard in the paint for Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how you'd use it. Hard
Great.
Doing the hard yards is like,
is like
I've it, been through shit.
Is
like Michelle Yeoh did the hard yards.
Yeah.
And that's why I go hard in the paint.
Totally. Mm. I would say that kind of works with what I'm saying.
I think it worked the entire way through.
Okay.
Being in the pandemic in New York era was doing the hard yards.
I feel like I never really called myself a New Yorker until that. Until like 2021, when I was like, whoa, I like made it through.
Isn't the rule though that
10 years
in New York means you're a New Yorker for life?
I didn't feel that at 10 years.
But it's not up to you. I'm saying like,
that's
no, it, no, it is up to, it's a feeling.
It's a feeling.
Well,
it is the general rule of thumb.
It's the general rule of thumb.
If you are 10 years in. But
yeah.
I do feel like those that stayed through the pandemic
yeah.
earned, I feel like I earned an extra stride.
Achievement unlocked,
I moved
yes.
during the pandemic.
Double points.
And I stayed
oh,
during
that's
the pandemic.
Double.
That's triple points.
So.
Triple points.
That's huge.
No, that's major.
Yeah.
That's multiplier status.
I just feel like we did college here and then like all our 20s here.
Yeah.
And so here's what I thought. I felt like I could finally call myself a New Yorker when anyone could ask me any question about the subway and I could answer
yeah.
it.
That's actually really good.
Like yeah. anytime you have the subway down, like if someone comes to you and they're like, well, how do I get the E? And you can tell them.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
a New Yorker baby.
You are. Yeah. I mean, I'm an Angeleno born raised. So there's the revolving door of actors and models and writers that go through that city every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel the same way that it's like after 10 years. We have people who are like, I moved here 2 years ago. I was like, nah. Yeah. I was like, no, I live there. I'm an Angeleno. I was like, I was born and raised here.
You know? Yes. 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 Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
just like, so honorary at 10 years. Yes. But
yes.
before that, I feel like it's premature. And
yeah.
that's the thing that most actors probably won't stay 10 years.
Right.
You know, most actors get there and they're like, not for me. Writers, I'm not. Or they get outsourced to like Atlanta or New
sure,
York
sure.
or another, or Toronto, you know? Because we rarely work in LA. If
yeah.
you're
I mean, I did the small part in that movie, Lyle, Lyle, Crocodile.
Uh-huh.
And I was on set one day and they filmed in Atlanta. And I was working with this Atlanta-based actress. Mm-hmm. And she was sort of debating a life change because she was pregnant. She's like, I want to raise my kid in LA, but I work so much more here in Atlanta than
yeah.
any
Stay
of my friends that
Atlanta.
Went to LA because it's
yeah.
so crowded.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a good actor or performer in an area where they do a lot of shoots, like I would imagine Toronto, like all those Canada local hires
yeah.
and Vancouver, everywhere,
yeah.
like it might be beneficial for you to stay, especially
you'll be
now.
A big fish in a smaller pond.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I have a lot of friends in LA who moved to Atlanta and have thriving careers because
they have a backyard.
It changes.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
considered
yeah.
a local hire. You have uh-huh. to put you up and drive, fly you over. Per diem. Like that gets expensive. And if you can make it in LA and continuously work, then stay there, obviously, because you make connections with casting directors or whatever.
Yep.
But if you don't, then get your jump somewhere else and you might find out that that was the road or trajectory you're supposed to be on.
Build the mm-hmm. resume, I say. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
come in with a resume, not just so that you can have a piece of paper that says, here's what I've done, but also you can have the experience. And then you go to a big city like LA or New York and then you're...
An A-list city.
Am I going to get in trouble?
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. But do you feel a certain way about moving to New York? Like, does it feel like you're betraying LA?
I mean, but I feel like going back to what you said about LA and New York being like the top, I think that I'm good either or.
Yeah.
I've always been Angeleno. But if for whatever reason, you know, career, love, you know, moves you to a city, well, what a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I say what I mean by A-list
I'm
city?
I'm sorry.
It's like, here's what I mean. To make it like international, it's like
Paris, London.
Paris, Beijing.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like Sydney. Like,
keep going.
I'm like Hillary Duff. London, Paris, maybe Tokyo. There's something going on everywhere I go tonight. Wow, she had some bops, didn't she?
Absolutely.
Hillary Duff's music does not get the respect.
Is she on the show?
No.
No.
Oh my
God. She should be. Why not?
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. bubbly burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Okay, who's planning a trip to Provincetown this year?
Me, me, me. And if you've been before or it's your first time, you deserve to enjoy life on the wild side.
If you take pride in where you travel, then you're ready for a P-Town adventure.
I love that Provincetown is so welcoming to everyone and embraces diversity.
Oh my God, there's so much to do. Art galleries, local shopping, beaches, bike trails, nightlife, whale watching, dune tours.
And that's why I love Provincetown. It's queer, it's quirky, you can be yourself, and it's always a good time.
If you've never been to P-Town, you have to plan a trip. And every time you visit, your experiences will never be the same. One of my favorite things is you can strut your stuff with your squad, solo or hand-in-hand with your, let's say, trick.
For many of us, the definition of paradise is summertime in Provincetown. It's all about freedom, sunshine, and a chance to be ourselves.
From Boston, hop on a fast ferry for 90 minutes. The ferries run from mid-May through mid-October.
For more info, go to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com.
Provincetown, we're gonna see you there.
Do you need to be part of the next pop culture moment? Are you scared of missing out on once-in-a-lifetime experiences? From can't-miss music festivals to international fashion shows to your favorite celeb's favorite restaurant, staying in the know can be so expensive. Don't let your finances hold you back from living your best life.
Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper.
Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com to start living yours. It's Intuit.com. Let's get into it.
Shall we transition?
Let's transition.
So we are now going to transition. What a lovely episode this has been, by the way. It's been so nice
to
hang with you. But we're doing I Don't Think So, Honey. So this is our 60-second segment that we take something in the culture and we just put it in its place, I'd say. We drag it.
Yeah.
We use the words I Don't Think So, Honey about it, which there's no greater burn. And I literally in this moment do not have something, but I'm going to think of something within 5 seconds. Or do you have something?
I have something.
Then you go.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So this is Bowen Yang's, who I'm so lucky to call my best friend and co-host.
I'm so lucky to call my best friend and co-host.
It's his I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Johnny Depp just got signed on a $20 million deal with Dior for a men's fragrance thing. Who wants to smell like him? Do you look at Johnny Depp and go, I bet he smells good? I think it is giving greasy. It's giving unwashed. No problem. That's his whole thing. No problem. But that's his whole thing.
Yeah.
That's my point exactly, is that, like, this guy can't be paid that much money for a fragrance campaign, because who in their right mind wants to smell like that?
Yeah.
And Dior, I wish for better, because normally you nail it on the fragrance people you sign.
Love.
I still 15. Remember, we all knew where we were when Charlize Theron ripped off her gold dress, her pearls, whatever the fuck, for her, you know, J'adore thing.
Her neck piece.
Her neck
Natalie
piece,
Portman,
yes.
Miss Dior.
Miss Dior, who could forget?
Mademoiselle.
Johnny. Mademoiselle, thank you. Johnny, I feel like it's not aspirational.
And that's 1 minute. Now I know what I'm going to do, and it's directly relevant to yours, and we're going to go right in.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Johnny Depp's fragrance that was called Sauvage. It looks like sausage.
Sausage.
When you look at the word, it looks like sausage. And so then not only are you opting into a fragrance that says smell like Johnny Depp, which I agree with my sister, I Don't Think So, Honey. But then I really don't think so, honey, that it's one word away from sausage, which we love to eat and smell, but not in a fragrance capacity. In a breakfast capacity.
Yes.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Sausage smelling like when you
seconds.
Hey, come here, check, clock my neck. It's sausage.
get out of town.
Hello?
I don't think so, honey. This idea that Sauvage and Johnny Depp isn't going to be gnarly on the ears, because guess what?
15 seconds.
Then I was gifted the fragrance. It's a really good fragrance.
Oh.
And I wear it a lot. And then I have to say, they'd say, what are you wearing? And I have to say, I'd be humiliated when I
say,
Johnny Depp sausage? I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Oh, girl, you are so right for that one. $20 million. I'm just confirming. I was like, that number can't be right.
It's crazy.
Just check. $20
million. $20 million to do what? Like, be in a couple pictures?
To be in a couple pictures, do an ad, to have some, what are they called? Like, principal days or something? Like, days where you have to really...
I don't get this, because is Johnny Depp's demographic, which I'm going to assume is largely male, are they buying this fragrance for themselves? Because that's another thing you have to think about, is it's like...
Or is it like people... Yeah, what are you
saying? Apologists, like, straight women?
The demo is like women who would love to like put it on a scarf and be like, smells like Johnny Depp.
Yes, or let's just...
Do women still like Johnny Depp?
We'll keep it to straight people. But yeah, it might be women buying it for their fucking boyfriends or something.
That's true. They want them to feel like a superstar that smells like that. I don't...
But as we all know, he's not a good partner. He's not a great... Like, he's not going to be the best boyfriend in the world to you.
I think it's just brand recognition at this point. It's just like,
it's brand recognition.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Of course. You know what will shake you? Is like going to Pirates of the Caribbean and on the ride, and like Johnny Depp is just all over it still. I get it. Like, he ultimately was like, I guess, uncancelled by the whole thing because like he was found. That whole court case is such a dark mark on history. But like, it's just odd that it's still so present.
That it's interesting to me that Disney is like, no problem, keep him there.
No, I think the ride went dark while that was happening. I remember being at Disney.
Oh, really?
And then the ride went
dark. Did it really? Oh, did they do a quote unquote refurbishment?
I think they might have. But it's like, but it went, and then as soon as
interesting
I think
timing.
The verdict came out, it was like, I think
it's back.
You know what?
That's really smart.
Because they've had to do a. And you know what the thing is with that particular attraction is they've already done so much work to like make it
not problematic
because. Uh-huh. Famously, that ride used to have...
One of those things is like, he's rocking back and forth in a chair.
Those animatronics are so expensive. Well, now... Okay, so Rock and Roller Coaster is Aerosmith, and that ride is down, and a lot of people think it's because... Steven Tyler had allegations.
Oh.
And then I think about like all those actors in the pre-shows and stuff. And it's like, you have to really ride hard for these people to put them in your thing for all of time and make sure that it's not weird. Like, is there an example of that? Of like,
I mean, Felicia Rashad Dinosaur is, it's not like an egregious thing, but it is like a, okay, well, you've got a Bill Cosby apologist up there.
And every time I see it, I'm like, she is a Bill Cosby apologist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's also Felicia Rashad and slaying the pre-show of Dinosaur.
I'm sure there's someone at Disney who like does the goodwill accounting for all of their pre-show talent. They're like, well, how much do people love this person? And how do we weigh that against, like, the shit they've done and said?
Well, and like, honestly, it's now, like, really topical because of the Jonathan Majors of it all.
Right, right.
Like, the Jonathan Majors of
huge
it all
liability.
Is cuckoo.
Yeah, yeah. And it keeps getting worse.
We will see.
Okay.
So we basically have done one joint, I don't think so, honey, about Johnny Depp and his fragrance trajectory. If yours is in the same area, that's wonderful. If it's not, still slay.
Okay, but mine is...
Hold on, we're going to count you
okay,
in.
Okay, ready?
And this is Harvey Guillen's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
Musicals and plays that take several days to watch? I don't think so, honey.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm getting... Yeah. If I have a weekend in New York, I want to see something beautiful, something artistic. Uh-huh. And if you have to now take two of my days to go see this play and this musical, I don't think so, honey.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And it's starting to just... It's getting out of control. It's just like, you know, it started, I feel like, in the West End. And then it's moving over here. And then it's just like, I love musicals and I love watching theater. But it's hard enough to sit through a theater production for 3 hours. And then the 3 hours is like, okay, I got it. The beginning,
30
middle,
seconds.
And I just don't want to be... coming to New York so often that my time is consumed with sitting on a chair watching two productions that took 3 weeks to watch.
Yep.
You know, just because the first one's on Tuesday, the next one's on Wednesday, and if you don't get tickets for the Thursday, you're not going to watch a Saturday matinee. And if
you
don't, I don't think so, honey. Let's go back to just beginning, middle, and end in one sitting so I can watch several shows all at one time, because otherwise, I don't think so, honey.
5 seconds.
Okay, you know what? Just stop. I don't think so,
honey. And that's
1 minute.
Yes.
Perfect.
Woo.
It's a huge logistical ask.
It is. My time, and then I want to see the craft, but also, if it takes you that long and it's going to be 2 days, it's like, is this like a destination wedding?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is this a destination wedding?
Yeah.
I would do it if it was like, the Saturday matinee and then the Saturday evening performance. Yeah. But then I guess you that's can only whole, do it once a week.
Exactly. Right. And that takes your whole day. And then you have to go home and like decompress. I go, wow, that was really crazy and heavy. And then, wow. And then so your whole day and weekend now revolves around this production. And then you're like, oh, I missed someone's birthday. You know, just like, oh, I missed Mother's Day.
Oh my God. I miss,
you start missing life.
What have you seen that's like this? Did you see the recent Angels?
Harry Potter and Angels. Uh-huh. And some people are like, I love the first half and not the second one. I don't want to wait until the second half to find out I didn't like the second half.
Right. Yeah.
Like
right.
It's like, okay, I'm in. I'm going to come back and then leave disappointed and be like, I could have done with just the first.
You know, totally.
I could have done with Saturday.
The first half better be good because I'm telling you, if I am sitting for 2.5 hours of the first act and it's not good, I'm not coming
out. Well, that's my question. How many of those seats are empty for the second part?
Well, I did this once. It was a Sunday between SNL shows. SNL weeks. I was so exhausted, but I had tickets to go see both parts of The Inheritance. And lovely show. It was just, I was just like, I've been here for 7 hours. This was my whole day.
Life
is too short. And it was like my only day off. And I kind of do think that corrupted my mindset going into the show.
And did it go into the next week? Because you weren't fully rested, maybe?
And it fully went into the next week. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So and it's an extra ticket and it's whatever. It's all that stuff.
Also, like, often these shows are intense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. It's like, it deals with subject matter that's like, okay, not only am I seeing a play that's this, but the play is super sized.
It's super. Yeah. And then now, it's not like going to see a musical, but like, that was so much fun for 18 hours. Like, it's just like, because if you're going to have fun, let's wrap it up. You know what I mean? But if it's going to be intense.
Keep it moving.
Like, it's a lot and heavy, and then it carries over to the next week. What was your thought like process Monday morning? I have to go back to wait, but why did she say that?
I mean, here we are, we're literally saying like the ideal length of a film is like 86 minutes.
Yeah,
like we saw a movie the other night. Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson's new movie. We saw early screening,
82 minutes.
We were like,
perfect.
My God,
yeah.
Not a minute wasted, not a minute over asked, overdone.
Every movie should be a typical length of like a House of Dragons.
Well, that's too long.
Which is too long for a TV show.
Too long for a TV show.
Right.
Very important.
Every movie should be Succession.
I fall into like this TV shows where like I forget that it's not just an hour or 30 minutes and then you lost like 90 minutes. And you're like, oh shit, that was really good. Oh my God. Like I lost track of time. Like, you know, like sometimes, I just don't think they advertise it as like, stay tuned for the next 90. You know, it's like you watch an episode, you think it's an hour or 60 minutes or 30 minutes. Some of these shows are going on for
a while.
You know what's getting me? I'm hitting pause all the time. I go, oh, my food's here. And
then you have to get back into it.
Yeah.
And then you might rewind a little bit.
I gotta rewind.
Yeah, because I forgot. And then sometimes a recap, I forgot everything because it's been so long or I didn't want to watch it the next day unless I'm binging it. And it's like, what?
I know. Oh,
I have to go
back. You know what else I don't think so, honey? I don't think so, honey, skipping the recap. I need the recap. The recap has to happen.
Because it makes me realize I didn't remember any of that stuff. And I have to go back to maybe see it again.
Didn't remember. And also, the recap gives you hints as to what's going to happen in the episode. And so you're like, oh, these are the threads that are going to slay. Like, what my favorite thing is about Succession, if Willa is in the recap, I'm like, slay, we're getting Willa.
Willa's in this episode.
Willa is going to be in the episode because I ride so hard for Willa.
But you know what show is not doing that?
What?
Survivor. Survivor is not giving me the recaps.
They used to do it.
But they're not anymore. And I think it's very important that they do it because sometimes I go, oh, who voted for who again? Oh, right. Oh, who's like on what team? It's that kind of thing.
So I guess by the time this airs, like Survivor will have ended. But Survivor's having an incredible season. But I still have my same thoughts about Survivor, which is two things. One, yes, it's way more than two things. But two of the things are, one, yes, give me a previously. Mm-hmm. And also two, I miss when the jury members would walk in.
Oh.
I miss on the jury where like, and joining us is Candace, voted out last week. And then you'd see
they cut to Candace and she would like have a sour look on her face.
Yeah, but what I loved was when the girls who got voted out were clean and got a blowout. And got to put makeup on for the jury.
Yeah.
Had a nice meal.
Yes, like whenever you see like a hot guy that was voted out and like you see that they've cut their beard or whatever, like
That's such a moment.
The moment of them coming in and sitting down and looking at the people that voted them out and they're hot now and it's kind of scary.
And the tension of the facial expressions going
back.
Because it's like, oh shit, I did send you home. It's like, I'm back. Facial expression.
I miss so much about old versions. And I still love Survivor, but old versions of Survivor, like, we're not in the glory days right now, and it's okay.
But it's a great season.
Great season, and Carolyn is...
A star.
A star. We don't know yet if she wins. We fucking hope so. Are you into Survivor?
I started watching Survivor when I was in high school, and then I kind of like went out of it.
Yeah, it's understandable.
It's back in a big way.
It's just so much content.
It's back in the way New York is back. New York and Survivor are both back. Okay. It's actually Roller Culture number 30. New York and Survivor are both back.
So I'm going to move to New York and start watching it.
Perfect.
And then you'll be actualized.
And then I can actually come with
Well, you can watch it in your new apartment.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
With your man. Woo!
God, I had so much fun.
This was so great.
And we're going to hang more tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
At the GLAAD, because Harvey is hosting the GLAAD Awards. We're so excited. Congrats.
Lost Culturistas podcast is nominated. Let's see if we keep picking up that hardware. We are, of course, iHeartRadio's best podcast of the year. Snubbed by the Webbies. Snubbed by the Queerties.
Snubbed by the Queerties, as usual. As usual.
Yeah.
Don't know a single person who's won a Queerty. Just kidding.
Do you know Nicole Byer?
I do know Nicole Byer.
I think she's won 5,000 Queerties.
I think
I was just with her like two nights ago.
Yeah, she's won about approximately 5,000 Queerty
Awards.
Karaoke
party.
Yeah, she's the best. Yeah. Oh, I can't think of anyone more fun to have at a karaoke birthday.
She's like, oh no, I do not sing. Like she's
that's a good Nicole, but she is good presence.
Oh, she was
probably
great
very
presence.
Supportive.
So supportive.
Yeah, did she bring her Queerties?
No, she didn't.
There were too many.
There wasn't enough room.
There wasn't enough room. There's probably a warehouse full of Queerties.
She has the archive house.
I get it. This is incredible. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, this is a blast. And Bowen Yang, what do you say we end this episode like we do every single one with a song?
I say yes.
London, Paris, maybe Tokyo.
There's something going on everywhere you go.
Do you not know Wake Up by Hillary Duff?
I don't know it between the Wake Up, Wake Up.
What Hillary Duff song do you know?
Hey now,
this is what dreams are made of. If you want to hear that, watch
the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wanted to say Cinderella.
I think it could be from...
No, it's Lizzie McGuire.
It's Lizzie McGuire.
Because it's when she's... Remember that crazy...
Oh my God,
I think it was
Alex
Lizzie McGuire.
Borstein.
When she turns into like Italian Alex version.
Alex Borstein is in that movie.
But do you remember when Hillary Duff played like the Italian version of herself? But she was like, no, I'm not gonna do this.
Oh my... She auditioned for Mario.
She did?
No.
We gotta go.
We gotta stop that.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this cookie crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.